Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today's date is 4/30/2022. Yes, it's April the 30th, year 2022. And you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live. I'm broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with my co-host, Janet Davis, and a few other co-hosts that should be joining us momentarily. And happy Saturday. Happy Saturday to you. I truly appreciate the ones who have tuned in and are listening on the internet and that will be calling in soon. We have some topics we're going to get into in our first hour, some things. I have some questions about just, okay, I'll get to that in a minute. But what's interesting, hold on, I'm looking at a text. Okay. I'm looking at a text from this awesome legendary drummer, Wardell Potts, just texted me. Okay, Wardell, I'm going to respond back in a moment. In our second hour, though, we have a special guest. His name is Corey D. Williams. And right there, that should tell you, yes, he is related to the iconic legendary actor, Billy D. Williams. He happens to be Billy D. Williams' son. And interesting enough, because Corey and I have been friends for a while, you know, not like buddies, but we know each other. And I see him and run into him and talk to him and got to know him through his music. And he has some great music. Some of you guys know that he's been in the Star Wars movies, played a character in the Star Wars movies and everything. And had a good conversation with him yesterday. And today we're going to have a great conversation with him on the show. His music is really great. I love it. I enjoy it. And I just really wanted you guys to hear it. And just an interesting brother. So that's going to be in the second hour. All right. So hope that all of you will tune in and stay tuned for our second hour. But let me go ahead and open up the mic to the lady of the house, co-host, and the person who really puts a lot of this together for us each and every Saturday. Please say hello to Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Oh, I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to do that anymore.
Hey, Michael. How are you today?
Happy
you doing
Saturday.
All
right? I'm fine. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah. A lot better than what I was doing in the past few days. You know, I've had this problem with my shoulder, but I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
We both had problems.
Yeah, you know, when your body tells you something's wrong, you got to answer that call. You got to figure out what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
I think the most amazing thing on this earth is the human body. That's true.
That's true. That is so true. Look, I've had for 3 weeks, it's just started getting better. I had gout in my right foot. And
wow.
I've been out of commission because of it. This is the worst that has ever been. Because I only had it two other times. But now I'm making sure I eat and drink the right things to keep it from happening again.
And you know what? A lot of folks don't think about it. And gout seemed like it was a bad word. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, he got the gout. You know, comedians would joke in the center. But people don't understand that gout is serious. It really is. And it's very painful, very discomforting, of course. And a lot of reasons why folks get that is due to sometimes diet, right? And I read upon on a few things about it. But, yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do have some topics we're going to get to, a little bit of politics we're going to get to, but something hit me, and because the fact that I do work in retail, I've worked in construction for many years. I've worked in retail. I've worked for Home Depot. I've worked for Lowe's. I've worked for Walmart and everything. And what gets me is that what I've learned is that people don't read. Okay? I'm not talking about reading books, but people just don't read anymore. They don't read signs, Janet.
I think it has a lot to do with social media. You know,
well, they don't read
everything
signs
is just,
and they don't read instructions. You know,
right.
Everything you purchase, everywhere you go to buy something, there are signs. You know, if you're looking for a certain item, there are signs of what aisle it's on.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't look up and read. If you want to know how something works, there's instructions on the package. But people don't read. And it just boggles the mind. Oh, I see where folks, they'll come to me and be like, hey, does this work? I don't own this item. Why are you asking me? They assume that you know everything in the store. That you bought everything in the store. You should have knowledge of every single item sold in a store.
Right.
And then what kills me the most is when people try to make a decision between one or the other, they ask you, what you think is the best? What am I supposed to say? Well, you know what? I have
Google.
One of each.
Michael, say Google it. Because I Google a lot of things before I go to the store. So I'll know what to look for.
Thank you. And I just want to call that out, you know, before we get into other topics. But it's something that it just boggles my mind that with all the technology now, people have gotten lazy. People have gotten totally lazy to the point they don't even use the technology. Now,
right.
If you don't use the technology, you are definitely beyond lazy. You just go Google it.
Right.
You know, look at it. Read up about it. They got these, what is it called, the QIC or whatever, where you can scan, you know, they have a little scanner thing next to the
QR
item.
QR code.
And it'll, right. And it'll tell you, it will give you all the information you need. So people are just crazy. I'm sorry. It just frustrates me when a person will ask, where are your headphones? And here's this big ass sign, headphones. I'm like, right there. Oh, sorry. Read. Look. Pay attention to your surroundings, people. You know, I don't know, Janet. I mean, technology is great, but don't you think that people are just depending on it a little bit too much and not using their God-given talent of reading, understanding, studying?
Not too long ago, I had someone tell me about why people don't call, why they have to text message, you know. But I said, you know, like, technology evolves over the years. And I also reminded this person that I came along when it was party lines. You paid an arm and a leg to have a private line, so most everybody who had a phone had a party line, and you had to wait or ask for permission to be able to use the phone if someone was on it, you know? So technology evolves over the years.
And, you know, I think we've had this discussion before, and, in fact, I'm pretty sure this is what we've been on air for, what, 7 years? I think we've had this discussion before of when it comes to phone numbers, how many numbers do you really memorize? How many numbers can you actually, you know, friends or family come off the top of your head? And many people can't, because it's already just programmed into the phone and forgotten until you need to call that person. Now imagine you lose your phone, or the phone is dead, all right? You don't have your charger. Oh, your car broke down. How can you contact anybody? You don't carry a phone book anymore, you know? Remember you used to have the phone book, your little address book? Most people don't have that anymore. But imagine a serious situation. You can't think of a friend or family member's number because you're dependent on your phone to do it.
Right. You know, Michael, they don't even give out phone books anymore, do they? I don't know.
No.
Because I have not had a landline in ages.
You know, I would think maybe in some rural areas they might. You know what I'm saying? Some real rural areas might. Maybe. But no, you don't get phone books anymore. You remember you used to get the white pages and the yellow pages. I remember when the white pages used to come in two books, and then the yellow pages was a big Bible-looking thing that, of all the businesses. You know? But no, you don't get that anymore. I don't know when the last time anyone has ever used the 411.
You know, I'm just hearing you say that. I was waiting for you to finish. Yeah, 411, I can't even think of when I've used 411 or went online and actually looked up a person's name and phone number. You know?
Right.
Don't need to.
And that's the thing. It just hit me that, as I said, and I'll say it again, we do have some topics we want to talk about. We have a whole hour before our guest comes on, but every day I see this. I see where people just don't use common sense and use their mind. They, especially in retail, they'll, as I said, there's folks who'll be like, how does this work? Well, sir, the instructions are right there. Well, have you ever used it? No. Oh, you ever had folks buy it and bring it back? I mean, come on. You know, do you want it or not? There's so much stuff out there, you know, that you have different choices and everything. But read. Don't go into a business and ask this, that, and the other when there are signs right there in front of you. When I go to a store and I shop, and I think you and I talked about this before, Janet, I make a list of what I want. I don't just go shopping in a grocery store without a list, because what you will do is impulse buy. And that's what stores want you to do, is impulse buy. They want you to look at something. In fact, there's product that I see come in that on the box it plainly says impulse product. They put it at the register. I'm serious. I'm not lying. It actually says impulse, because they know, put this at the front register, because when they get up there and they're waiting in there to check out, they're going to glance at that and be like, ooh, that's only $10? Let me get that. And now you're spending more than what you came to the store for, right? But when you make a list of what you need, stick to your list. And I think, Janet, you said something about if you go to the store enough, you should know the layout of that store and shop in a way that you – me, I try to work either from the back on the way up, so I'm concentrating on what I need and not what I might see, you know, which is better. Start from the back of the store and work your way up to the registers, you know, because as you start venturing down other aisles, you're going to start looking at stuff that you know you don't really need to get.
Well, I normally go full circle. I start in the beginning, and I start on one side, and then I end up, you know, coming back out on the other side of the store, you know, to check out. Yeah. But I noticed also a lot of the stores, like recently, Walmart has put more things in the aisle, not in the aisle, but the outside aisle. Mm-hmm. You just got tons of product just lined up, you know, not at the end of aisles, but in the middle of walking in the main aisles.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, they're really trying to get people to buy.
Well, that's planned, you know. I mean, that's the plan. Of course, they want you to buy. They want you to spend. And it's income tax time. Oh, yes, we want that whole check. That's what they want. And what stores will do, many of them, they will drop the price on certain items. Well, let's say raise the price on some and drop the price on others. Okay? So you got to be cautious. Don't spend money on certain things that, as I said before, you really don't need. If you feel like that's a good price on that, do your homework and your research on it. But don't impulse buy. And people do it.
Stores have been changing the price, marking up some and putting other things on sale. They've been doing that for ages, where got fresh vegetables on sale, frozen is sky high, or canned goods, you know. So they're going to get their money one way or the other. So you're not really getting a deal unless you only concentrate on those things that are on sale.
Correct. That's very true. You can't be spread all across the board. And unfortunately, people do that. I know when I worked for Home Depot, they'd have a sale on certain items, but people didn't realize the other items went up another $10 or $12 or $15, right?
That's right.
So concentrate on the sale. Go and buy on the sale. Don't buy the other stuff, because whether you know it or not, that other item that you bought that's not on sale probably went up about $2 or $3, and you may not see that. So basically, they're getting what they want out of you.
Right.
Does that make sense? They're getting what they want out of you. They want you to spend.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. That's the way it is. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of the politics for a moment. The time is now. 6:19, so we have quite a bit of time before our guest joins us. And again, our special guest at the 7 o'clock hour will be Corey D. Williams. Politics. Janet, what's going on with this January 6th commission? Now a judge has ordered former President Donald Trump to, he's already told him, or it's already requested for him to turn over some documents and information, but he has refused to do so, and now he is being ordered to pay, what is it, $1,000 or how many thousands a day?
I thought it was more like $10,000 a day.
$10,000, $10,000. Yeah, $1,000 wouldn't be nothing to Donald Trump, I guess.
Right. But wasn't Trump, that was the Southern District of New York?
Correct.
Letitia James? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
right. But the January 6th commission, they're getting ready to, in June, hold the public hearings. And I think a lot of the politicians in Washington is starting to freak out because they've been pointing fingers at each other and just really airing their dirty laundry out there for everybody to know what's going on. But apparently, I guess they don't care, you know?
Well, wouldn't you think that some, after this long period of time, because we're talking about this has been a while, since that whole, it's been some time has gone by. And, you know, unfortunately, the fact is that after a certain amount of time, people lose interest in certain things, right?
Right.
And then, you know, if you let it linger on, then it's not a big deal. So you let, you know, the coals, you know, the fire kind of simmer, you know, or as they say, well, I'm sorry, I meant the pot kind of simmer down. And now, don't you think that's what's going on? Because they're trying to let it simmer. And then there's elections coming up.
Right.
Which I think there's going to be a lot of, I think there's going to be a lot of fireworks. They've already started a lot of fireworks. That's going to really come up real soon before November.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Yes, because I also read that the Democrats they're thinking about using McCarthy's tapes, the recent tapes that were that came out showing how he felt about the January 6th commission. So they said that those tapes should be able to help them conquer the independents. Voters, you know, it's swaying more towards the Democratic voters during the midterm election. Yeah, so.
Well, I found it interesting that there's an advertisement here in Georgia for you folks that are listening. Stacey Abrams, and I can't remember the other individual's name, but they have this little ad out where this individual is an independent. And, you know, she's pretty much put her, you know, Stacey has put this other person in her corner, right? So it goes to, to the point of business fame, pulling the independents to the Democrat side. I see another co-host just joined the conversation, have their hand up, so I'm going to open up the mic to the one, the only, author, comedian, sometimes actor, Mr. Charmin Hughes is in the house.
Hey,
what's
Charmin.
Up?
Is that Janet? How are you, Janet?
Hey, how are you? I'm doing great.
I had a show last night, so hey, you know, I was trying to get my bearings late night, so just getting everything together, getting everything on track. Speaking of, you know, I've been reading about McCarthy and all these guys, and this it's really a shame of what they've done, you know. That we got to do something like this to get things going, you know, because they've done so much. They just like Marjorie Taylor Greene has done so much to ruin things for everybody, and I think that they're gonna. I really believe that they're gonna get them. You know, I'm still. I don't know if you guys talked about it, but I'm still mad about Bragg. You heard about the brother Bragg?
No.
The dude, the Attorney General in New York, they were going after Trump.
Yeah.
The guy that took over for Cy Vance.
I'm kind of upset about him too.
Oh my God! Oh Mike, we got it. I mean, you got T-shirt, you got T-shirt. And this dude comes in, and the guys who were the Attorney General, who was helping him put the case together, they quit. Because this Negro comes in and talking about, I don't think Andrew Cohen is going to really do what we want him to do, and so it's going to be a waste.
I feel like he's been paid off. You know, I feel like somebody slipped him some money or something. Because of all this time, they've been researching, you know, and knew all the things that happened, and now he's putting a halt on everything. He wants to, you know, like...
2 years! You're talking 2 years they've been after this cat.
Yeah.
And then all this information's been gathered, and they're about to lure the boom, and they say, look, we can get this fool for a criminal act, and then you just gonna shut it down?
Right.
I'm like, man, hey. And so it's so connected, but I'm glad Tish is still after that.
Yeah.
Tish is just, that's a bad sister. Hey, homegirl ain't cutting no, you know, she put that judge on him. You got 10. And so they might as well, McCarthy, what's it, Scalise, you know, because they had to tell, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, y'all got to stop this shit y'all doing. Do y'all realize what y'all did? We can't have these people going out and tearing this place up.
Yeah, but Gaetz is pointing a finger at them and trying to out them out, you know, because of what they said. So they're telling on each other, you know. So other stuff is probably eventually going to come out.
Well, his case ain't over either. Remember, they're trying to get him for doing child trafficking, doing sex trafficking across state lines. So his butt ain't in the clear yet, even though his daddy, I don't know how much money his daddy going to spend, but it's going to cost a lot of money to keep that cat out of jail.
Right.
It's going to cost long money. But they definitely stated, I'm waiting for the January 6th committee. Look, they know that we got to get rid of these fools. Because, hey, a lot of people are finding out that Trump played them. Trump even, did you see that $700 million loan that he got from the government? I'm like, dude, this cat is nothing but a crook. I'm telling y'all, they've been bamboozled. Mike, they've been bamboozled. This white boy didn't clean their clock, and they don't even know it. Them dumb, and it ain't even dumbass rednecks. You got a lot of people who are voting who really believe that Trump can do what he can do. And those small donors, they're the ones paying all his court costs. He's using that money to pay for his court costs and everything. I'm like, man, how are you guys getting played like this? Y'all are really getting played. I was just like, I'm good, man. Hey, I'm like, hey, you know,
wow.
But I believe they can get him. And then, you know, I know everybody. I'm not sold on Liz Cheney, but hey. I just want the country to get back to be, you know, where we thank God they're coming together on this whole Ukraine thing, you know, that, you know, Democrats and Republicans. Trump, you got to go.
Yes, because if they don't put something in place before the midterms or before the main election in 2024, our chances. Because they said this thing that happened in January 6th was a dry run. Our chances to lose our democracy is going to be far greater. And once a Republican gets in office, they have said it'll probably take forever for a Democrat to be able to hold office again.
Oh, yeah. And they buying into it. They don't even understand. They're getting sold a whole bit of good. You know, it's the pet rock all over again. You know, y'all always tell you, you know, dude took a rock, put it in a box, put instructions on how to take care of your rock, and they sold millions of them. And they bought that rock. You could have sold it. Trump could have sold them crack. He could have sold them crack and bought it. You know, and did you see Oklahoma? What is it about the woman's body that they are so fascinated with? How are you going to just tell somebody that they can't have an abortion?
They are afraid. People already know they have lost them as far as being a majority. And so they're going to try and force women to have kids in order to build their population back up. But they don't realize you're not just going to have a white woman who might be rich enough to be able to go across the border and fly somewhere else to have that abortion. The minorities are going to be the ones suffering, paying, and getting and having all these children.
Right.
because they might not be able to travel across the state line.
Hey, let me say, yeah, and if they're Catholic, you know they believe in having babies.
Okay, so let me kind of switch gears on this a little bit. I want to go back to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to go back to something. Since you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene, you do know that she comes from a family that has some money. They got long cash, and she actually moved into that district in order to run for office. Now, here's an article here. It says that Georgia City reckons with a new district led by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Powder Springs is one of two predominantly black suburbs drawn into the far-right Republicans' district. If Ms. Greene is their voice in Congress, will she speak for them? That's a good question. I'm gonna go ahead and read a little bit more. Less than a 30-minute drive from Atlanta, Powder Springs embodies the changes reshaping Georgia politics. Shops and restaurants owned almost entirely by black proprietors line its downtown center and are frequented by a growing population of young and racially diverse residents. The suburban city elected its first black mayor in 2015. Wow, first black mayor. And the county where it sits, the former Republican stronghold of Cobb, voted for President Biden by 14% percentage points in 2020. There is one other big change. Powder Springs, a majority black city, may soon be represented in Congress by Marjorie Taylor Greene. That development, the result of new district maps drawn by Georgia state legislators, was part of a Republican drive to blunt Democrats' power. But the residents, another predominantly black suburb, are still, well, this is interesting, being represented by perhaps the most far-right Republican in Congress is raising questions that go beyond partisan politics. That is true. Powder Springs and Austell are pretty much predominantly black. Jenny, you are aware of that, I'm sure. Can you imagine Marjorie Taylor Greene overseeing?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how did she get from where she's at now, close to Rome, Georgia, to be in Powder Springs and Austell?
Well, as it said, redrawing the map. Okay, let me scroll down. Let me see if I can see more of how that. The newly drawn 14th congressional district is a result of a tactic called cracking. The practice, quote, it says, quote, cracking, end of quote. The practice of breaking up blocks of voters and scattering them across multiple districts to dilute their voting power. It is common and legal under federal law, unless found by a court, to be deliberately used to prevent voters of the same race from electing a representative of their choice. Ms. Greene, who is best known as a bomb thrower on social media, has said little about how she would represent the communities new to her district if she wins re-election in November. She did not respond to requests for comment.
I pray they make a decision for her not to be on the ballot because it's bad enough that they have moved some districts where they have to go over 30 miles to be able to vote, or, you like you said, cracking, taking people out of certain districts and putting them in others to dilute our power. I think that we got to put a stop to it, you know. You talk about war, I think it will be war if this happens. I think people are going to be out protesting, and I don't know. I just don't think this is right at all.
But what does protesting do? I mean, let's be honest. What does protesting really do? Marching and everything. I know it has some effects in certain venues or certain situations. But in politics, protesting really doesn't do much. in my opinion.
Let me take that back. I should have said prayer, because I was talking to someone the other day, and they said people need to come together and unite and pray, because prayer is powerful to be able to turn things around.
I agree with you, but here's the thing. You know, whenever, you know, the only time that we come together is when we're threatened from an outside source. 9/11, okay, is definitely an example. Anytime that we are attacked as a nation, as a whole, is the only time that we unite, but we attack each other every day. So that's not going to change, in my opinion. It's not going to change. That's a sadness. If we're at war, you know, you look at that redneck white boy got to fight alongside that Crenshaw Compton, you know, as they call this, thug. They got to fight for each other's lives out there in another country. But when you come home, it's back to the same old, same old.
I don't get it either. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, she might have had it easy before in her other district. But now that if the map is going to stick and be redrawn, and that's extreme gerrymandering, she's going to have to contend with a lot of minority. So she needs to be very careful.
Well, now you have Herschel Walker, who's running for office. And Herschel got some money now. Herschel Walker is running for office. What do you think about that? He's a Trump supporter. He's always been. And in fact, Donald Trump is backing him. There are ads here, as you know, Janet, where Donald Trump is backing Herschel Walker. He's backing Perdue. He's definitely upset with Kemp, because Kemp didn't do what he wanted him to do here in Georgia.
Yeah, the 11,000.
What I've seen is a lot of infighting among the Republicans more so than the Democrats. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Have you heard of Herschel?
Yes.
Yeah.
That brain dead brother, man, you ain't got to worry about him. That boy's dumb as two left shoes. He's had too many blows to the head. I'm telling you that. Who the hell told him? He's a hardball, basically, evolution is coming down. Because God, I don't know about no monkeys and all, but I do know that God and the white dude said, Herschel, you're the smartest man in the world, Herschel, you're the most smart man. And yes, he's a damn lie. He's telling the truth. You can't tell the truth because he ripped your neck off. He is still a brother. You don't want to do that. But dumb is dumb. That boy is dumb.
Yeah.
He's dumber than a bag of hammers. I'm telling you, he barely got out of Georgia. So who the hell told him that it would be the greatest thing in the world? Herschel Walker's your run for Senate. Are you nuts?
The same thing they did when they put Kanye West on the ballot. I think they were thinking that people are gonna, because he's black, he's gonna draw votes. But no, you know, because anytime somebody say they got some spray that can cure COVID and all these other things, but you know, he ain't gonna tell you about it right now, but he got a cure. Yeah, he got a cure all right.
I tell you what, though, Janet, if I hear another white boy quoting Kanye West, I think I'm just going to upchuck my gut. I'm going to projectile vomit all over the place. This boy, I had a white boy tell me, man, what you talking about, man? Kanye is a genius. Kanye is like, he's like Jesus. Kanye walks on water. I say, hey, fool, that's the same fool who sold you them $3,000 tennis shoes that were red. And I told the dude, I said, and you know they make, I said, but dude said, yeah, man, I got my Yeezys. I said, one, anybody that can con you into buying something called Yeezys is a problem. And two, he didn't tell you that his tennis shoes are made in the Philippines for $1.25. He didn't tell you that. So you paid $3,000 for a pair of shoes that's made for $1.25 in a sweatshop. Who is the dumbass? I'm not voting for him. And hey, that boy, if my dad was alive, oh my God. You know, my dad used to always say, my dad would always say, you can move a brother out of the projects and move into a mansion. He's still driving up his car up on the lawn, he ain't learned shit, I'm telling you. So that boy, he's still driving his car on the lawn, and he's just like a typical brother that don't want, you know, we wasn't even allowed to grow grass in the ghetto. They said, man, what you doing, man? We're trying to grow grass? Yeah. Why can't you lay out dirt like the rest of them? You trying to be white?
You know,
no.
Yeah. But you know what's so funny, though? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what's so funny, though? You both are old enough to remember a group which I think was really the original rappers called The Last Poets. You remember The Last Poets? No?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, The Last Poets, really. And their stuff is available on YouTube. And I highly recommend anyone who's listening to this, look for The Last Poets. They are, to me, the original rappers. When I was a kid, I remember my oldest brother had a Last Poets album. And it was so shocking to me to hear what they were talking about. They had a song called Niggas Are Scared of Revolution. And their rap is so different. And I remember one line in there where they're rapping also, and they break it down. And you remember the cigarette called Salem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they had this one part in the song.
Oh yeah, my dad is smoked Salem. My dad is smoked Salem.
Right. And they had this one part in the song where it says, "You can take niggas out of the country, but take the country out of niggas." And I was like, wow, that's deep. That's pretty deep. Mm. But it goes back to you look at it in a sense of where I'm talking about back in the 70s, and you look at what's happening today, and you look at how a person like a Kanye West, who is really, when he did that as far as supporting Donald Trump and telling black folks to vote for Donald Trump, and then all of a sudden he wants to run for office. Now vote for me. It playing on the ignorance of black individuals. I want to keep going on, but I want to go ahead and open up the mic of another co-host because the time is now 6:43. We have 15 minutes before our guest joins us. And so here's another co-host. I'm going to open up her mic and say hello to Cotton K.C. Campbell.
Hey, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody?
We're fine.
Welcome. I'm good. Enjoying my vacation. We good?
Hang in there.
Okay. I'm going to be on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Tymon, if you don't mind, I know you posted of an event that you're doing. Can you share that with us real quick? I saw a post where you had a bunch of people.
That was the 29th. That was last
night.
Okay. That's what I was telling you. That was last night. We had a packed house.
Okay,
great show. Yeah.
Okay, great. It was like seven or eight other individuals. Oh, okay. See, I didn't read the date, so I apologize. Hey, you guys, so... So quickly, I want to just say something here to keep all the listeners aware. You know, last Saturday, we had scheduled a great show with an iconic artist, and unfortunately, it did not happen. It was a scheduled show to speak with the legendary Miss Karen White, and Blog Talk just decided to screw up right at the start of the show, and trust me, I was heated. I mean, it took me a couple of days to get through that. Fortunately, today, we don't have the issues. We were like, what, 6-7 minutes into the show, Janet, I think? And just the whole board just went down. Janet tried on her end of getting to the board. It was just at the worst time. Being the professional that Karen is, you know, I was just so embarrassed for myself, for the show, and for her too, because she had posted on her social media pages, and I know a lot of people, I mean hundreds to thousands of people from around the world were looking into listening to the show and talking to her, because she's going to be honored at the Black Music Honors next month, May the 19th, here in Atlanta, and we're going to talk about that. But being the professional that she is, we are rescheduling for her to come back on prior to May the 19th. We're looking at the 14th, and it looks like it's a go. So you guys stay tuned. The information will be back out there. And my apologies to everyone, but, you know, it was really well planned and everything, but things do happen. You know, the devil is busy. So thankfully, we're going to be able to reschedule and come back with that show. All right, so we got 15 minutes before our guest joins us. And I'm looking at the board, and there's a lot of numbers. I see a lot of familiar numbers on the board. And so I appreciate you guys calling in. And by the way, if you do not want to speak live on the air, you know, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS and just text me your question or comment in the chat room. Now, I have to say one more thing. Our guest, as you well know, is Corey D. Williams, the son of iconic actor Billy D. Williams. And I know everybody wants to talk about Billy D., but we're going to do a little bit of that. But really, we have him here to share his awesome music. The brother is one hell of a music producer and musician. So, but and pardon me for the call. I have something in my throat. Hopefully it's clear. But I had a great conversation with him yesterday. We've been in contact quite a bit prior to scheduling, and we had a long, good conversation. And he shared a lot of things, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy when he joins us. All right. I'm looking at the time. We have 13 minutes. Cotton, what's going on in the KC land, though? Let me throw the mic in your court. What's going on over there in KC? Oh, better yet, I thought I saw you going to Las Vegas at some point. Am I right? Correct me.
Yeah, well, I had a layover in Las Vegas for about 4 hours, and then now I'm in Cali. But I wanted to put back out there again about feeding the homeless. So wherever I go, I also feed the homeless or assist the homeless in Sacramento as well, as well as when I come to Stockton. So one of the things that I think that a lot of people are focused on is the wrong things when it comes to assisting with being a good person or doing what God sent you to do or not wanting to see another person suffer, even if they don't care about themselves. Sometimes you got to care about them because that might change how they feel about themselves at some point. And so I just wanted to touch base on that again for everybody that's listening. Mm-hmm. Even if you could just stop at McDonald's and grab a couple of cheeseburgers or Wendy's or somewhere, go to the grocery store and make sandwiches to be able to feed them, because not all of them make it to the shelters or the organizations that do have food. And some of those places, you got to have a stove. And if you're sleeping on the street, you don't have a stove. So I just wanted to point that out again. So that's what's going on in Kansas City. And then in June, let's talk about it. We'll be coming to TMGN. I'm super happy and excited about that.
Yes.
So what's the name of your show?
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about everything.
Yes, Cotton Campbell will be joining the TMGN, the Michael Gate Network, and I am so excited and looking forward to it. I believe we're scheduling for Thursday nights. Is that right?
Thursday nights starting in June. Myself, Lady Justice, Patricia Banks, and Lucy.
Okay.
We'll
get to hear some of what ladies. You get to hear a little more about Lady Justice, the woman who has everything.
Yeah, she's been here, and I really appreciate her. And I don't know if she's tuned in on the board. If she is, I'd like for her to wave her hand. But, very interesting individual. And what else was I going to say? When you start your show now, you know, Juneteenth is coming up. I'm pretty sure you have something scheduled for that date.
We can schedule something for that.
Okay.
I forgot about Juneteenth, actually.
You know, it's so crazy, I like Janet, that. I think you saw where here in Cobb County, Georgia, or I'm sorry, Marietta, the city of Marietta, they're actually going to make it where Juneteenth, and what's the other holiday? Is it Veterans Day? It falls in that point, yeah. They're going to be paid holidays for government workers. See that? Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
They just passed it yesterday, I believe, that they will be paid holidays for the government workers here. I wish they made every holiday a paid holiday, even Halloween. I don't care. I know it's not really a holiday, but hell, pay me extra on Halloween, all right? Pay me extra for Flag Day. Pay me extra for President's Day. Any holiday you got on that damn calendar, give me more money, please. I'd appreciate it. All right, you guys. Well, we're definitely looking forward to it, Cotton. And again, I thank you for joining the TMGN for you guys. Make sure, and of course, you're going to see a lot of advertising coming your way prior to the actual date. And please support our show Thursdays here on the TMGN. I don't really want to make everybody feel down, but I have to just tell you something. And I talked to Janet about it last night on my way home. I saw the road blocked off and police everywhere, flares in the street and everything, and was going to a store on that same street and managed to come around the backside and managed to see the crime scene. I thought it was a car accident. But actually, there was a body laying in the middle of a major road with a sheet over it. And the victim's shoes were just feet away. Obviously, he had been hit by a vehicle. And I come to find out today that the person didn't stop. They kept going. Earlier in the show, we were talking about reading, paying attention, knowing your surroundings. Now, I don't know what caused this person to get hit. Obviously, he crossed the street, not at a intersection, but he crossed the street and was killed. This isn't the first time I've seen that happen. Over 10 years ago, I saw where a little boy was hit, and I tried to help assist the paramedics and everything had not arrived yet, crossing outside of an intersection. I know it might be inconvenient to walk to a corner, but for anyone, you know, that's listening, walk to a corner. Don't have your earbuds in your ear. Don't be looking at your phone in the middle of a street. Don't do it. You know, with all the technology that we have, unfortunately, it can be helpful, and sometimes it can be harmful. I'm not saying that the person who got killed last night was on a phone or had earbuds on, but, you know, just be cautious of your surroundings. And I just send my blessings to that family who lost their loved one for something that could have been avoided. You know,
right.
We don't really think about something that really could have been avoided, something as simple as crossing the street. It's just so sad. I was talking to an individual that you guys know on the phone just a little bit before I headed home, and that just haunted me the rest of the night, of that vision of this body in the street with a sheet, and the shoes feet away, you know. It just haunted me all night, where something, you know, that quick can happen. So be very cautious of your surroundings. Don't let your phone, don't let your earbuds, don't be texting and all that shit, you know, because something can happen in a split second. So just be cautious out there. All right, we have 5 more minutes. Anybody want to comment before we get going? Or I'm looking at playing a little bit of music, but any comments before mm-hmm. we get ready to join our guests or bring in our guests? Go ahead.
Well, I'm ready for the music.
Oh, you are. Hey, you know what? I am too. I'm sorry. I'm getting text messages at the same time, and I apologize for stammering a little bit here because I'm getting messages from some folks, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm trying to text them back to let them know that I am live right now. So,
and they most of them know it.
Basically, all of them know it. It's not most. All of them know this, and they don't realize that I'm using a desktop, a laptop, and a phone simultaneously. And to type in their questions is not really what I planned on doing at this time. Okay, so hold on. Let me get back to the board here. I got to laugh to keep from yelling. Okay, you guys. I'm seeing a lot of numbers on the board here. Thank you, guys, all of these callers that are listening on the live over the phone line. And then the chat room, let me take a look at the chat room, and I'll come back to them, any questions or comments. But thanks to all the people who are listening live here on the show. Okay, so I want to make sure that our guest is here. So you guys, please bear with me. I'm looking at the board now. And I'm trying to set up something else for our guest. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. I think I got him here. You know what, Janet? This normally don't happen on a regular basis. Where, and I'm not trying to jinx it, but I'm scrolling down, and normally I always put everybody's name next to their number, right? And I'm not seeing, okay, this isn't going to happen today, you guys. Bear with me. Trust me, it's not going to happen today. We're not going to have a major issue like we had in the past. Okay, there he is. All right, you guys, so the time is now 6:58, so we're going to go ahead and start before 7 o'clock. And we're going to get into the music. So, you guys, let me say this. I met this brother some years ago and just really enjoy having conversation with him. Learning a lot about his music was really an honor, just talking and knowing or learning that he's a musician, how much he loves music. And when I heard his tracks and everything, I was like, wow. That's deep, you know, and continue to follow him through his social media, continue to listen to, you know, his creativity, and he's just an all-around great guy, and I truly appreciate him joining us and sharing with us his talent. So, you guys, without further ado, please welcome to the show Mr. Corey D. Williams. Give him a nice round of applause from the TMGS family. Here we go. With Corey.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you, Addy. Thank you, Addy. Thank you, Addy.
Killing.
Thank you. Addy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Hey, I don't deserve a standing ovation yet. You know.
Okay, audience, let the man speak.
Uh, Well, you know, we can get on to a lighter topic now, you know.
Yeah,
you guys are all deep into politics. I was like, woo!
That's what we are. We're that variety show, my brother. Happy Saturday, man. How you doing?
Turn on the fan in here, man, you know. Yeah. Cool. It's all good. I'm here, you know. I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing fine, man. I just had to share that little public announcement, you know, because it was just really sad, and I had to say that just to be cautious. But, hey, man,
right.
First and foremost, I want to say, after what would you say, 6-7 years I've asked you to come on the show? But thank you.
Oh, my God. I don't even know. I kept running into you. We kept talking about music and I was like,
right.
Man, you know, I need a reason to go on this show. trying to write some songs and get some music together, man. And I was like, man, if Michael's going to have me on the show, man, I got to at least have something to talk about.
Yeah, but you
always
have
something great to talk about on this show.
Okay,
huh?
But you have some great stuff. Yeah, well, she said there's always something to talk about. Is that what you just said?
Oh, yeah, I gathered
yes.
that.
Corey, there's always a reason to come on this show. You're
yeah,
welcome
I,
to just come, just pop up and, you know,
I
tell
figured
us
that out.
What you want to talk about. It don't matter.
But on the subject of music, anyway.
Right. Well, see, here's the thing, Corey. I know a lot of people want to talk about your dad. You and I talked about that yesterday. So I figured, let's get that understood, and not to be disrespectful, but out in the open, out of the way, and then we move on to Corey D. Williams, not Billy D. But how is your dad doing?
He's doing really well, you know. I don't mind talking about him. You know, I'm proud of him and his achievements. So, you know, I get questions about him all the time, and you know, I guess we're kind of proud of each other, but we do. You know, it's a family thing. And so, you know, it's part of the family legacy and all that good stuff. So there's no reason to duck and dodge that. It's just that a lot of people don't know, many people don't know a lot about me. They just know that I'm related to him. And so that's where it begins anyway.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, we go way back.
Right, of course. <Since both.
laughs> Yeah.
Yes. Okay, and then we were talking about, you know, your acting career. You know, I want to get this all out there. And you said to me that you don't consider yourself an actor because people know you from or are familiar with you from you playing a character in a Star Wars, in the Star Wars movies. And everything. Can you elaborate on the character that you played and you share with me how that character became popular due to the fact of?
Yeah, well, you know, basically I spent several years working as a screen extra, really. So, you know, I never aspired to be an actor. You know, I've always been a musician pretty much all my life. You know, I started playing guitar when I was 10 years old. And, you know, we come from a family that, you know, everybody has different talents. But, you know, music was, my grandmother had a baby grand piano that I don't know how she carried around with her from New York City apartment to New York City apartment, but it was in there. You know?
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know how they had to break it down to get it under the get it to the seventh floor in the Riverton Projects, but it was always there. So music was always a part of the family. Art, all those things. That, you know, my mom's a very creative person. She knits and designs stuff. So, you know, like we've all been sort of like into various things. And, you know, I guess people assume like the most logical thing for me is, you know, is what I would follow in my father's footsteps. But he kind of always encouraged me to be my own person, do my own thing, and never really said, hey, you know, I want you to be an actor like me, you know. he just, you know, he knew I was into music and always supported me in that. So, but yeah, I mean, I started doing extra work. There used to be an Extras Guild, actually, a separate from the Screen Actors Guild at that time. And, you know, I got into doing some extra work, and I had some special abilities because I had martial arts training and stuff. Since I was 12, I started training martial arts all through my teenage years, and I was fit, and I had some special abilities. So people would, you know, call me in. So, like, I did some background work in various shows, like T.J. Hooker. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys remember that show, but it's like, William Shatner started. It was like a cop show.
Mm-hmm. Right, I remember that.
And I worked on A Man Called Hawks, which was like a spinoff from Spencer with Avery Brooks was the star in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, various TV shows, some movies, a movie called The Buckaroo Banzai, which is really odd and like a lot of people don't really know much about it, but Peter Weller.
Yeah, I know about like that.
Star. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I was actually a creature in that one. So they did a cast of my head. I went to a studio where they did Planet of the Apes, and they casted my head and then built this latex mask that I had to wear, and I had a few lines in that particular movie. So, yeah, I was always, like, sort of, like, doing extra work to sort of supplement my music career, really. I mean, you know, just because music, it's really hard to make a living doing music. I mean, musicians know, you know. And even
right,
though, you know, I had a band and I had a band in the 80s and we started playing gigs and, you know, we had a lot of interest in everything. But, yeah, I mean, I was doing extra work. And then my father asked me if I wanted to start standing in for him, which when you're a stand-in, you help set up the shot. So, you know, the crew comes in, the actors rehearse, the stand-in watches all the actors' movements, and then they put marks on the floor. And, you know, they usually pick somebody who sort of looks like the actor or similar complexion and height. The more you resemble the person, the better, because they can really use you to set things up while the actor's, you know, relaxing in their trailer or studying their lines or doing whatever else, you know. So, you know, my father probably had other people standing in for him, but when I got older, I started to look more like him. And then, so he asked me if I wanted to start standing in for him. And I was like, yeah, you know, because I was already doing extra work. So Star Wars came up and, you know, it was pretty cool, you know, because we were Star Wars fans anyway. And then when he got the role as Lando Calrissian, which was a really special kind of thing, you know. And, you know, he was put into the series. And then so when he did Return of the Jedi, he asked me if I wanted to come to the desert and stand in for him. And I was like, I don't know, you know. It's like, you know, it is Star Wars, and that's pretty cool. But, you know, going to Yuma, Arizona in the middle of the summer, you know, I know it's going to be a couple of weeks. And people don't realize, you know, how movie shoots, you know, it's not glamorous as glamorous as what most people think it is. It's hard work, you know. You work your butt off, and the hours are long. So I was like, you know, I was in the middle of working on an album with a friend of mine, Steven, and he was a guitar player, and I was playing bass, and so he and I were working on trying to get a deal. You know, we had Arista Records was really interested in us at that time because we had played a demo for them. And they were like, well, this is great stuff. Like, can you guys come up with some more material, and then we can maybe talk about, you know, some kind of contract. And we were like, yeah, that sounds awesome. So we were kind of in the middle of that, and my father asked me to do to work in Jedi with him, and I kind of didn't want to leave what I was doing to go do that. But he said, you know, well, how would it be cool, you know, would work out if you took Steven with you, and you guys could continue, you know, working on your stuff when you're not on the set? And we were like, well, that sounds great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I accepted to do that, and then, it was pretty fun because at night, you know, we were in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, and nobody really, you know, knew what was going on much. And because they were trying to hide the fact that they were shooting a Star Wars film. So they had all these T-shirts that they had us wear called Blue Harvest. And I got there and I was like, what is, you know, Blue Harvest? Like, I thought we came here to do Star Wars, you know. But, yeah, I was like, you know, I don't know. Good luck trying to hide it. You got Carrie Fisher. You know, you got my father, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, all these people there. We're all going to an Italian restaurant for dinner, you know, and it's like people are going to figure it out real quick, you know. There's only about three restaurants, you know, in the whole town.
Right.
But yeah, so we, you know, we did it. We worked on our songs at night, and a lot of people from the cast with different members of the cast and crew would show up to listen to us jam and play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was doing the stand-in work for my father, and one day they, you know, they had a bunch of people doing different characters, and there was a lot of injuries because there was a lot of action and whatnot. And one day they asked me if I wanted to put on the costume for one of the characters who didn't really necessarily have a name at that point and do some background work. And so that's basically what I did. I did some background work as the character, and then his name is Klaatu. And so Klaatu didn't really have a name at that point. He was just character number 576-19, whatever, you know, just put this on kind of thing. And and so Steven did some background work. We both did some background work in the one scene on the sail barge, running around and stuff. You know, who knows if any of that stuff even really made it into the film. I mean, but, you know, we were there doing it. And so years later, man, I have a training studio at my house. I've been a fitness trainer since 1990, I guess. And one of my father's manager came over and who manages him and goes to Comic Cons and does signings, and he saw the photo that I had of Steven and I and the mask down in front of me, and he said, "I think that creature has a name, and I think it has an action figure, and you know, nobody's really signing, you know." And so people collect these action figures as collectibles, and they want a complete set signed, you know. So he convinced me. I really wasn't interested in doing appearances and whatnot, but he convinced me to go out and do some appearances, and so that whole thing got started. I guess it's probably been maybe 10 years now, you know.
Yeah.
But it's cool, you know, I get to meet different people in different cities, and really the main reason why I did it was because I just wanted to, my father does them a lot, and I wanted to be able to spend more time with him because you know, we don't get to see each other much. We're on opposite ends.
Yeah,
I'm on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast. Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
So
and
I
you
thought,
originally
you know,
born
a good opportunity.
Where?
Huh?
But you were originally born where? You were originally born where and grew up where?
New York.
Originally.
Yeah. Manhattan.
Manhattan,
yeah,
New York.
I'm from Harlem,
okay.
Yeah, I grew up in Harlem.
Okay.
Actually, I grew up on Sugar Hill. So, you know, where Kool Mo and all those guys, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang, all of, you know, St. Nicholas Avenue is where I'm from, which, you know, is right across the bridge from Yankee Stadium. So,
wow.
But, yeah, so,
how,
you know, and Pops.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm saying Pops is from New York, too. So.
Right. So how did you, okay, because we're going to get into the music aspect of it, since you already explained the movie thing, which, right, the character, Clap, but you love the funk. I mean, I see your post, and it, and I mean, you, I mean, it's where you will pop up on social media and say, "Have a funky day," you know, keep the funk alive, you know, whatever. It's something with that funk, and I'm 1,000% with you. And you know, listening to the music, which we're going to get into, you were sharing with me before about how you would listen to different artists. What artists did you listen to at a younger age, and who do you consider some of the greatest funk artists of all time?
Wow, you know, well, I go way back, so, you know, I'm 61, so I was there. I mean, a lot of younger people listen to it. They're getting into it now. but they don't really understand really fully. They weren't there to experience it as it evolved and happened, you know. But I was really like, my mother was listening to a lot of Motown, and so I grew up listening to that. And then my uncle turned me on to Jimi Hendrix, and so I was listening to a lot of that too. So I was listening to a lot of different things. My grandmother sang opera, and she was into show music, and, you know, she got my father into doing stage plays and whatnot when he was really young. So I was exposed to a lot of different things. But, you know, I guess it kind of started with James Brown, you know. So, you know, I got one of my first James Brown records. I think it was Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, man. And,
wow.
You know, and
right,
it was like,
man.
It struck me, man. It struck me. Like, I was like, wow. You know, it's like, first of all, the subject matter and the way he was saying what he was saying. And it just, as a kid, you know, it hit me. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, wow, you know. And I used to drive my grandmother crazy with it because I would play it over and over and over. and she would, you know. I think she, and then one time she accidentally like left it too close to the radiator and like, you know, it melted. But that wasn't nothing, because back in those days, you know, like a 45 might have cost you like 50 cents or something, you know. I went back out to the
mm-hmm.
record store and got another one.
Got another one, yeah. I did the same thing one time. I left the record close to 50 feet, and I had the nerve, and I apologize, but I had the nerve. In fact, it was the Ohio Players Honey album. I took it back to the store.
Yeah.
And the guy asked me, what happened? I said, I don't know. When I opened it, it was like that. I was lying my ass off, okay? You know, because I did. But, yeah, it was. Albums were only like $3 or $4 then, you know, and I got another one. You know, he gave me another one.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That was a great album too, man. But so yeah, it began kind of with James Brown, my curiosity with the whole thing, and I didn't really understand, you know, it wasn't like, I don't really know. It's like James Brown was just doing a thing, and I don't really know, you know, I really didn't recognize it as being funk. It was just something I really just liked. And I was really into, and then my father gave me, he would listen to a lot of things. So he listened to everything from the Beatles to whatever, and jazz. He was real into jazz. So, but he gave me a Sly and the Family Stone album. It was Stan. And, you know, he gave me that album and I put it on, and then, you know, I was immediately like just mesmerized by the whole thing. I mean, because Sly used to experiment a lot, you know. Like James Brown was a pioneer when it comes to rhythms and how they would play rhythms. And they would play the same groove for like 10, 15 minutes. I mean, nobody cared. You would just get into it. You know? Like, yeah. I mean, it was so dope. And but nowadays, you know. You know, you got to get it. You got to get say what you got to say in under 3 minutes, because people got short attention spans musically now. You know?
Right.
but in those days, I mean, we were glad to hear it for like 15 minutes straight and then play it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then again after that. So we didn't really care. You know, it was just you were like in a trance. But he gave me the Stan album with Sly and the Family Stone. And then it was this song, you know, Don't Call Me Rigger. Why? It was like. I was
right,
like, what?
Yep.
What is this?
Yep.
Don't
call
my father.
I have that album,
like,
actually.
Oh, man. It was like he was tapping into social change and all this stuff that was going on at the time, you know, Black Power movement and all these different things. And I was like, wow, man, this is. Because in New York City, you know, the Black Panthers were there. I mean, they set up tents right across the street from the jewelry store where my grandmother used to work. And I was like, you know, I was sort of always curious. Like, man, those dudes are cool with the berets and the leather jackets and, you know, dark glasses.
Yeah.
I was like, you know. you know, I didn't really know what was going on with it, but it just seemed kind of cool to me. But but yeah, then Sly, so Sly was really like, I called my father up and said, man, there's something wrong with this record. It don't sound right. And
Hold on for a minute. Hey, you guys, I'm hearing some noise in the background. Please put yourself on mute if you're not speaking, as our guest is speaking. Please put yourself on mute for the quality of the show. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but finish, please.
No worries, man. No worries. It's a technical issues always happening. I'm used to those.
Yeah, but everybody knows if you're not speaking, put yourself on mute.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, so yeah, it went from James Brown to Sly and the Family Stone. And you know, I think Sly is probably like one of my favorite all-time songwriters, because he had such a heavy message, and the message was real positive.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of attracted me too. You know, the things he was saying were like, you know, everybody's, you know, everyday people, you know, everybody's a star, all those songs, you know, it was like, and two, you know, he had one of the first like fully integrated bands. I mean, you know, he had a white drummer, and, you know, there was a different types of people in his band, which was a little unusual at that time. Cause I think, you know, you either had black performers and white performers, but you know, they weren't all together.
And he had an Asian, member, I think, too.
I think he had some mixed race people in the band.
You know what? And maybe I'm thinking of Larry Graham when Larry Graham branched off. That, you know.
Oh, right.
They had, you know, mixed race individuals in their bands. I really don't want to hold everybody up, because I know they're waiting to hear your music. And so I was debating which one I want to start with. Do I want to start with Locomotive, or do I want to start with the Deuce? I'm going to hold the Deuce and just let this funk of Locomotive, spelled LOCOMOTIV. Hey, you guys, kick back and listen to Corey D. Williams. Here's Locomotive. Welcome back to the TMGS. That's Locomotive from Corey D. Williams. Hey, man, I like that funky bass line, man. That's funny.
Yeah, that's that. I did that entire track myself, so I played all the instruments on that track and did all the programming and everything. But I was just really experimenting, and which is what I usually do, man. And I had this chugging sort of bass part that I was doing because I'm a bassist, you know. That's my main instrument. And I was doing some slap parts, and it just sounded like a train, like a freight train coming, you know. So, and it was a little crazy. So then, you know, I called it Locomotive instead of you know,
right.
Instead of Locomotive, I called it Locomotive. But yeah,
right.
So I come up with crazy titles, and you know, that's, that's my influence for Parliament Funkadelic, you know, and George and Clinton and those guys, man.
Right. You know, I want the callers and the co-hosts to have a chance to ask you some questions, but I want to get back to another track, and then I want to save this other track for after the question and answer segment, if you don't mind.
Okay.
When I was listening to when I was listening to your projects, there's so many great songs. And by the way, you guys, Blog Talk does not do the sound justice, so I recommend when he shares the platforms that you can hear this music from, you go and check it out, buy it, download it, whatever, listen to it in the best quality sound that you have available, because you're missing out, really, when you're hearing it over the show right now. But we're going to work on that in the future. The next track I want to play is called Cast Adrift. And, man, when I heard that, the first instrument I heard that got me was the strings doing pizzicato. Any song with pizzicato just gets me. And can you explain how that came about? And explain to the listeners what pizzicato is.
Well, you know, there are various violin techniques. Now, I didn't use, you know, live violins on this. I used some violin loops, you know, that I arranged in it. But, you know, it gives you a percussive feel. There's a percussive feel as well as a melodic feel. And so that's what's going on in there. That track was actually born from a drum track that a friend of mine who's over in Italy, he's an Italian drummer, he was playing this rhythm, and he had this arrangement that he was doing, like a partial arrangement that he had. And I was like, dude, you got to send that to me because I love the vibe on it. And so I just took what his drum track, and then I embellished his drum track with another layer of drums. And then, you know, I didn't really know what the song was going to be about at first. And then I had written some lyrics about being alone, but not really minding solitude, you know, because I'm kind of a person, you know, I can be reclusive at times, but, you know, I like being in my room doing my thing, and I don't mind it. So I was kind of writing about that, and then I gave it to a good friend of mine, Kelly, who has her own albums and is a fantastic vocalist and really great artist. And I gave her the lyrics that I had written down, and I said, just see where you can go with this. And, you know, if you don't like what I have written, just write something else. I mean, I don't really care. I'm real flexible when it comes to creation. And she really made it fit, and she sang it, you know, like she really connected to what I had written. And then she finished, you know, some of it with her own lyrics that she added to it. But the main hook, you know, spacewalking unattached was like something that I came up with. So we just, you know, it was just kind of all about being about solitude and, you know, not really, but, you know, and how you can be in a crowd of people and still, you know, a lot of celebrities are like that, where they just feel like they're around people all the time, but there's a feeling of loneliness that can come from that. So I was talking about all these different things, and the, you know, the tracks came together that way.
Wow. It's an awesome track. I fell in love with it when I first heard it. When I put my earbuds in, I don't know how many times I've listened to it. I still hear something that just, you know, hits me, and I'm like, wow, I didn't catch that the 13th time I listened to it. Now I'm hearing it, you know what I mean? And the drum set, man, those drums are awesome.
I like to try to do that.
Yeah,
I'm really into doing instrumentals, so like I try to keep it interesting. Like I try to have something different that's happened like about every 8 bars that kind of keeps people's interest or like grabs them. And you know, my father listens to my music all the time. He's always critiquing it, and he's, you know, you got to keep it interesting. You got to do it, you know. So
yeah.
he always has something to say about that.
Please introduce this track. Please introduce this song that we're about to hear to all of us.
Cast Adrift, you know, and that's, well, it'll speak for itself, I think.
Here we go. Welcome back to the TMGS with our special guest, Corey D. Williams. That was Cast Adrift. Man, as I said, though, to the listeners, the Blog Talk doesn't give it its justice, but, man, that's an awesome track to me. I love the arrangement.
Oh, thanks.
I love the breakdown. And the drummer. Hey. Who did the drums on again?
And his name is Andrea Pelosini, and He's an Italian drummer. He's in Italy. I actually connected with him through social media, man. I connect with a lot of musicians. I connected with Kelly that way as well. Kelly Musler is the girl who's singing the vocals on the track. She's got all her own stuff on Spotify and everywhere. And Cast Adrift will be released soon on all the different streaming services. But right now you can listen to it on SoundCloud. So if you go to Sonic Biotic, which is what the name of this project is called, you can go to Sonic Biotic, and you can, it's on, we're linked on Instagram and then also SoundCloud. You can listen to all of our tracks on there. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it came together. It was just one of those tracks that came together, and I started doing the arrangements, and I played synth bass, because sometimes I play synth bass, and sometimes I'll play, bass guitar, and I just, the synth bass really seemed to fit the vibe of the groove.
It definitely did. As I said, after the 147th time I listened to it, I was like, okay, you're something else I didn't touch the bass on. I'm serious. I did play it. And some of y'all know I work at a Walmart, and hopefully nobody at Walmart management or whatever knows that I'm doing this and listening and might want to fire me for doing so. But, you know, they have where you can link, you know, your phone or whatever to certain equipment in there. And I blast it, okay? I blast Castle with many other songs. I do it. And I see folks popping their heads. I'm like, and they have no clue who this is. You know, it's just funny and interesting. Let me go ahead and open up the mics. I think all the mics are open to the co-hosts and the callers. See if they have any questions or comments. I'm going to go to the lady of the house first, Janet Davis. Do you have a question or comment for our guest, Corey Williams?
Yes. First of all, that first song, Locomotive, it almost sound like something that they would be playing in a bar or something on Star Wars, you know. And what I wanted to ask was, I was reading your bio, and you were talking about the funk music. So how were you able to take the funk out of the 70s and make it sound more current?
Well, you know, I've always believed that funk was experimental in the first place. I mean, when James was doing it, nobody had ever heard anything like that before. And then Sly took it and made it sort of more psychedelic sounding. And then George Clinton, you know, brought members from James's band out, Bootsy, and all those guys, and just really took it to a whole nother level. So It was
wow.
It had always been a really experimental thing, and I think that lately when people are trying to revive it, they're trying to keep it, they're trying to stay true to what it was in terms of like what it used to sound like. And so people think it, you know, it needs to sound that way, and my whole feeling is that it needs to be brought into what's current more. And so you just experiment with other elements that you wouldn't necessarily hear. Like, you know, you're going to hear horn lines and funk, you know, but you wouldn't necessarily hear violin, even though there has been, like, you know, Chic and those guys used to experiment with violin in the disco era. But I think it's just really a matter of experimenting and combining different sounds and different, like you said, it sounded like it could have been in a Star Wars bar. And that's because I'm throwing in sounds and different things that you wouldn't normally hear. So there are typical synthesizer sounds and typical bass lines and things that associated with funk that people tend to repeat. I usually try to stay away from that. I try to create something new or something fresh if I can.
Wow. Thank you.
Let me go to Cotton Campbell. I'm going to let the ladies go first. Cotton Campbell, you have a question or comment?
Yes, first I want to say thank you for coming on the show.
And
the second thing I have is, have you started touring, or are you going to be touring? Are you going to be any place where we can come see you live, perform?
You know, that could happen. I don't know when it would happen because we would have to, you know, it takes a lot of getting together, like I'd have to get a band together and we'd have to rehearse these songs and be ready, fully ready to perform them. But, you know, we did one of my projects, which is called 3D Nucleus, is like a jam band project. And so a lot of those guys, you know, we've talked about performing, or especially performing at a con because we have an audience there. But, you know, I think eventually I could probably see that happening. I mean, I used to do it a lot back in the 80s, but, you know, trying to get good material together is like the first step. But yeah, it could happen. You never know.
Yeah, because I'd love to see you live.
Oh, thank you. Well, everybody you'll know when it happens.
Right. Well, you'll definitely know it here. I see there's some hands that are waiting, and I'm gonna open up 323-338. I'm gonna open up your mic in a moment. I want to go to co-host. Time and Chip, do you have any comments or questions?
Hey, I do. Man, I love your bass. I'm a big bass lover. And
that's
I will
cool
say
thing.
That I have a great Stanley Clark that's attached to my project. So, hey, and I'm a big Marcus Miller fan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you know, so,
Marcus. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So, you know, when you said you were the bass player, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, and, you know, man, one of my greatest things is when I sat down, you know, to ask Stanley Clark to come on my project and do the music for my TV show I'm putting together. I mean, it's like, hey, man, you know, and he's a beautiful brother, man. He has your demeanor. He has your down to earth type of vibe, you know. I mean, I'm not a musician. I just love musicians. My best friend who turned me on to Stanley, Artie Moore, he was a bass player. So,
right.
You know, we used to go and buy jazz all the time and buy different music and everything. You know, every weekend we were at the record store, you know, buying jazz or buying funk or, you know, so music, like you, my music has been there. So, hey, I just have to say, man, keep doing what you're doing. You're a beautiful brother, and hey, I wish you all the best. Keep it up.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, those are two of my favorite bass players on the planet, man. I mean, Stanley. When I first started hearing Stanley,
man.
I know, man.
Stanley
was like God to me when I was growing up, man. I was like, hey, what is going on? You know, he had the piccolo bass. He make it sound like he's playing chords on the bass and like doing things like nobody had done before, like in his School Days album back then.
I know, I have a bunch of Stanley Clark, albums, but my all-time favorite will forever be School Days. I mean, that whole thing.
Oh,
but,
my God.
Because that's one of those type of recordings, you know. Well, I was going to say this. You know that they did not hit pause or start again. They did that whole thing in one take, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
In one freaking take.
Hey, Corey, I was going to say, you know, to hear him take Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, which is a Charles Mingus cut, and change that tune, man. Nobody had ever done that, you know. And he took Charles Mingus to a whole nother deal. I didn't get the opportunity. I would love to sit down and think, you know, what would, you know, how are you able to take that, you know, and it's on that If This Bass Could Talk album, man, you know, just just amazing deal, man. I just to see him. I mean, he has hands like Julius Erving. He always remind me of like the Dr.
Big tall guy
of the bass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, brother, see him. You know, we hung out and it was just an amazing thing. I just wanted to hear the stories, even though we're trying to get him on our project. I just wanted to hear him tell the stories, man. He's a great storyteller.
Stanley, I had an experience with Stanley just to tell you real quick. I ran into him at a car wash, and I was with my father. And you know, I've met Stanley several times, and I've spent a little bit of time with him. But I bumped into him at a car wash when I was younger and I was working on music. And he said, there's one thing you need to remember. And I was like, what's that, Stanley? He said, get the tapes out of the house. Like, because back then we used to do cassettes and stuff. He said, music is no good unless you get it out to people and let them hear what you're doing. That stuck
right,
with me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, very motivating. Very motivating.
I met him one time back when I lived in California, in Hollywood. In fact, it was him and I think it was Norman Connors. I was with my brother,
mm-hmm.
and they were just hanging out, just how it is in Cali, just walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked at the brother's hands, and I was like, no wonder he can do the shit that he does.
Right. He's got the longest fingers ever, man. Yeah.
I've ever seen in my life. I was like, wow, this cat, And
Marcus
be,
Miller, I've met Marcus several times. I've met Marcus several times, and he's like the coolest dude, most down
mm-hmm.
to earth. And people don't realize that Marcus Miller, if they don't know who Marcus Miller is, they've listened to him on like all of Luther Vandross's stuff. I mean, he played with David
yes.
Sanborn. He played with Miles Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on everything, man. I mean, that guy, and, I listen to him, and that's him. He and Larry Graham are probably my two biggest influences in playing bass, I think.
Okay, let me open up the mic to 323-338. I'm not sure who this is. Welcome to TMGS with our guest, Corey D. Williams. You have a question or comment?
Hi, welcome. This is Andrea from California. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I should have known you.
I am so glad that Corey is on the show. When Michael told me about Corey being on the show, I had to make sure that I stay awake. y'all is, 3 hours ahead of us, and with it being hot day on Saturday, I said, let me stay up and listen to the show. Congratulations
you.
To all the guests that are there today. But, Corey, the questions I have for you, number one, when you talked about Stanley Clarke a few minutes ago, one of those albums I think is best of all times is the George Duke, Clark Duke Project.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, can't forget that
100%.
One.
100%.
Yes.
No, we can't leave. There's so many. I mean, we need another hour to, I'm trying to get everybody in. But George, now, I met George Duke several times, and I had a chance to spend a little bit of time. My roommate used to drive limousines. He was Joel Osborne, Jeffrey Osborne's nephew. He used to sing in my band.
Mm-hmm.
And George used to produce a lot of stuff, for Jeffrey and everybody else. But I had a chance to meet him at his house in his studio one time. And he actually, I had a synthesizer that it was an Oberheim that no one could get a hold of at the time. And so he actually rented my synthesizer from me. And when he called my answer machine, I had this funky groove on there. And George Duke, I had George Duke recorded saying, man, that's funky, And I was like, what? That's George, I miss George.
Right.
And, his music was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Since you're, sounds like you were born in this, the era of Sly Stone and Graham Sister Station, here's one for
mm-hmm.
you. Mandrill.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the group Mandrill?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes,
okay.
yes, yes. Mandrill was really, they had an instrumental hit. Which was really
they had a hit where it was called Fence Walk. There was some vocals in
right.
it, but actually,
mm-hmm.
it was majority instrumental. Then I think the intro was a little bit of vocal, and then all of a sudden it just was a hell of a groove all the way through.
I had that album on vinyl.
Yeah,
I did too.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
I have to.
Well, let us know when you're
going to
come to California. Please come back and let us know. I love the music. What I've heard today is off the chain, from the musical to the instrumental to the young lady singing. I want to hear more.
Thank you so much.
Come back on Michael J. On Michael Gay. Don't let it be another 7 years, I think. No.
Oh, I'll come back.
Won't wait that long.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got to squeeze this song in because I asked. But thank you so much for calling in, and thank you very much. I appreciate that, Andrea. I have to put this song on because the thing is that where I asked Corey to please send me this one, okay, in format. So due to the fact of time, let me go ahead and play it, and then we'll come back and we'll get ready to wrap up. Here's Corey D. Williams with something I really love, this track. It's called The Deuce, spelled T-H-A Deuce. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the TMGS. That's the Deuce, T-H-A, Deuce, with Corey D. Williams. Man, that is so damn funky right there. You know, it has that funk.
Yeah, that's my project called 3D Nucleus Project. So it's 3DEE Nucleus Project. And so it started off as a jam. It was a jam session. Mm-hmm. You know, the rhythm track was a jam session that we did overdubs on too, and horn section and whatnot. Great musicians. And the guitar player is Monty Pittman, who actually plays on the road with Madonna, performs with Madonna, has been performing with her for years. And so, yeah, so he's a guitar god, man. But, you know, and then there's another bass player on this, Matt Supnick, who's playing all that sort of like bootsy-fied stuff that's mm-hmm. happening along with what I'm laying down. And then our band's drummer, Jimmy, he laid the drum track down on that. So it was like, you know, that was all like really a lot of like live playing going on that track, really.
Do me a favor, please, because of the fact we only have 3 minutes left on the show, please share with everyone, because the fact that, as I already mentioned, Blog Talk does not do the songs justice when you're listening to it in this format, but share how they can get your music, like you said, through SoundCloud and elsewhere, and the two projects that they can go ahead and listen to.
Yes, there's two projects. So Sonic Biotic, S-O-N-I-C, Biotic, is on SoundCloud right now. And eventually a lot of that Sonic Biotic stuff will make its way to the other streaming services and whatnot. And 3D Nucleus Project is everywhere. It's you can download it on iTunes. It's on SoundCloud. It's on Spotify. It's on all the major streaming services. So that's 3DEE, the number 3DEE, which is like my middle name, Nucleus. And so, you know, it was a play on the Nucleus being the rhythm section and my name thrown in there. That 3D Nucleus is a very jammy funk vibe, and Sonic Biotic is more of a lo-fi trip hop type sound to it. So they have two different sort of sounds to them. And Sonic Biotic was basically developed for sync licensing. So like a lot of those songs we're trying to get placed with commercials and TV shows and whatnot. So.
Okay. All right, so for you folks that are listening to us live on the internet, the show is about to end on your end. We're going to go just a few minutes over time just to close out the show. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the show. Make sure you're back next week for another great show. All right, thank you. God bless. Now, okay, I have to do that little bit there.
Yeah.
Because that part of the show has just ended. Now, real quick, I want to just make sure that everybody that has already chimed in, and I see everyone has. Okay, so, Corey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate
you. Thank you for having me, Michael. You know, I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for doing this. Will you come back and join us again as you keep progressing
Absolutely.
With your music? Okay.
Absolutely, man. You know, there's always there's always more music to come, man. You know, I got a lot of it, so.
Fantastic. And the thing is, I want to share with the listeners, you know, Corey, what he did, he did his research. He looked up the TMGS. He looked up Michael Gay. And he saw where there were some things I'm lacking in. And, you know, I appreciate constructive criticism. And he brought it to my attention. And I truly appreciate it, Corey. Because there are some things I did not catch, and I know this is probably not some folks will say you say it, but that's what you like about a person who is looking out for you, you know, and you looked out for me and you brought some things to my attention I probably would not have noticed or paid attention to down the road. So
Well, social media is a big, important tool, you know, that we have to use to our advantage, and we really got to do what we can with it.
You have to have that conversation again. And as Cotton said, you're welcome to come on the show anytime, join any conversation, and share your knowledge. The music,
absolutely
awesome. You guys, hey,
thank you.
Go ahead and get this music and spread the word. Corey D. Williams, though he is the son of Billy D, he's his own man, and he's got the funk in your face, okay?
It's right there. I'll funk you up. Come on, get it. Come get some. Hey,
I said that, you know, acting is in his father's blood, but funk runs in his veins. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference. Often in daddy's blood, but funk runs in Corey's veins, all right? So don't get twisted.
Oh, yeah, I pushed it on Pops, too, man. We used to be sitting in his car listening to P-Funk. Don't think I ain't push it on him, too. I pushed it on him. He got me listening to jazz, and I'll drop that Parliament funk. We want the funk. Give up the funk.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was like, what is that?
Yep. To this day, it's still all about that funk. And I like how you
incorporated
and how you explain that whole thing to incorporate the fact
fun.
That the funk can be in different, you know, be elevated in different ways.
Yeah.
And I really want to talk with you about something else. But go ahead. I want you to go ahead and say what you're about to say.
No, I mean, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, we just need to let it grow, you know. It's beautiful in all its forms. You know, I appreciate all of it, really. I mean, I have friends who are in other bands who are doing some great things, like Dump to Funk and those guys, you know, the Neville family, and those dudes, man, they're doing some real funky stuff. But, you know, like, it's cool that we experiment, keep on experimenting with it. You know, we need to keep experimenting with it and take it to new places, you know.
Right. Well, you know what? I've had three different theme songs for this show, okay? And I need a new one.
Uh-oh.
I need a new one. We can talk about it off air. We'll talk about it off air. We'll talk about it off air.
I guess you're covered.
Okay. But I've had three different theme songs. And to be honest, I've been blessed. There was a young man. The first theme song was done by a young man, Ricky Reed. He was like 18 years old. I said, you know, he told me that he had a studio. I met him at Home Depot. He told me, yeah, I do music. I'm like, okay, I need you to. And so he made this track, and it was funny. In fact, I'm going to play it. And I was
cool. I heard your theme, man. I kind of liked it, man. I was like, that's cool,
yeah,
man.
The theme is cool. But I have to tell you this now. Now, Ricky, that was the first one. Then the second one was done by a guy named Darren Durst, who was the former guitar player for the group Ozone on Motown Records. You remember Ozone?
Oh, snap.
Okay,
yeah.
So Darren did a theme for me. And then Joe Foxworth, who was the keyboard player for Ozone, did the theme that you heard tonight.
Wow.
That's been the theme. Okay, and Joe was the keyboard player.
Okay.
And
shoot, I got to move over when they coming through.
You know, it's so funny, but where Joe said, man, I got a track. He says, I haven't shared with anybody. He said, and it's called Conversation Piece. I was like, wow. And he gave me that track, and I listened to it. I said, perfect theme for the show. Now, a lot of folks ask me, why you let this song play so long? I'm like, because it's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Gives folks time to tune in. It's really a good song. It's a hell of a good track. Would you agree?
It is.
It's a good
That's
song.
The one I think I heard. Yeah. It is good.
Yeah. That is very good. So,
yeah, you can't go wrong with any of those cats, man.
No, man. You really can't. You can't go wrong with them. At all. Hey, so we're going to get on out of here. Again, thank you so much for joining us. To all of my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the TMGS each and every Saturday. I love you and appreciate you. As I said last Saturday, we're going to make up for it. We've already talked to Ms. White, and we're going to reschedule. Tentatively, it's going to be the 14th which will be in 2 weeks here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks again to our special guest, Corey D. Williams. Look
Thank
for
you
him to come
me.
Back on the show. Thank you for joining us. Look for him to come back on the show. Make sure. And I hope that you did get the information to go ahead and check out his new music. It's out there. It's available. Support these amazing
artists. Yeah, we're gonna get the Michael Gay Show up on a heavy duty Facebook page, and I'm gonna put all my links on there. Don't worry.
Hello, here we go. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Man, Corey, you guys, please enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe. God bless. And we'll see you next Saturday on the TMGS. Good night. God bless.